No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el Santo Messi!
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con yeah. Muchachas un win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special live episode of Messi Anko. I'm Ashley here with only one, unfortunately, of two, but with a very mighty one in my co-host, Gian, to recap the last couple of matches and talk about some topics. I know we've been a little in and out the last couple of weeks, but we wanted to make sure we spoke about these last couple of games, and especially last night, hopefully a turning point in the season, which we'll get to. But first and foremost, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Glad to be here. Glad to talk some Inter Miami. The team, sometimes we come on live, the team's not doing so well. Then the next time, all the confidence is back because they look good. So I don't know. It's good. It's good to be here and talking Inter Miami. And I'm glad to hear what chat has to say about how they're feeling. I know there have been a lot of ups and downs over the last 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, Matt couldn't be with us today, but expect him on the next one, so don't worry too much. But yeah, all right. So we haven't been on since we're not going to just recap last match, because first was the Charlotte match, and that was obviously where I guess vibes were like at an all-time low after you know, what we know to be the League's Cup, which was a very difficult defeat, and the aftermath of that, the suspensions, et cetera. But then we saw Messi get to have a really great farewell in at his home, you know, in the home Argentina match for World Cup qualifier. And even though we didn't have Suarez, we were excited because we were like, well, let's see what this team will do. You know, obviously they're going to be bouncing back and having this vengeance. But I'm going to let you mostly recap this match, Gian, but all I'll say is, you know, I was at a wedding and I was looking back and forth. And 1 second I see Messi going for penalty and I'm like, let's go. Like, Inter Miami, we're turning this around. And then the next thing I know, it's a missed Panenka and we lose 3-0. So before we get to the goods of last night, we have to obviously address what went wrong over the weekend.
Yeah, this team, obviously, I thought it was important for them to come back from that League's Cup final and have a couple of good games afterwards to try to rebound. And, you know, they were still, they're dealing with the aftermath of all the things that happened after the game and the League's Cup final, dealing with the Suarez suspension, dealing with Mascherano's suspension, dealing with a bunch of stuff. So they go into this Charlotte game down Suarez, who we know and we've talked about how important he is to this team. He may not be playing the role some of us want him to. Like I've said many times, I'd rather him play an actual center forward role, not somebody that's basically just helping facilitate the game. But, you know, we were thinking, okay, in this game, maybe without him, we're going to see somebody else with more of a center forward type role. In that case, it was Allende who played more forward. It would be a lot more helpful if he actually finished the chances that he got. Unfortunately, that's not him as of late, and it definitely cost us. So, yeah, it was 3-0. I mean, 3-0. Toklomati had an incredible game for Charlotte, had three goals, scored minute 34, 47, and then a PK in minute 84. Inter Miami, I think at the beginning of this game, showed some signs like they were in the game. I think the first 20 to 30 minutes, they were able to come up with some chances. I mean, not necessarily a lot of danger, but at least they were in that final third of Charlotte and combining and making some plays. They had five shots on target out of a total of 10. They had the majority of the possession of the game. But really after, I think, the 25th minute, it didn't really look too good for Inter Miami. Especially going into the second half. The first half, again, we'll say it was a little bit even, right? Maybe 20-25 minutes halfway, and then the other half for Charlotte. But then the second half, it really fell apart after that first goal. They were losing 1-0, and then after shortly after the second half starts, in minute 47, Toklomati scores the second goal for Charlotte, 2-0, and it kind of fell apart after that. Messi, he has a chance at a penalty, rarely misses those, but he's tried that Panenka before. Last time he tried it, I think, was in the in Copa America, which he missed it as well. So that was, it doesn't seem to be working. But Tadeo Allende, man, he keeps getting these chances. He misses these one-on-ones, and I just think it's unfortunately tough for Inter Miami to have somebody that they can't really depend on now for that, you know, especially in these games where they need that center forward presence when Suarez isn't there. So, but all in all, the Charlotte game, sad 3-0. I feel like the team was frustrated. I said it after that game that I thought that this would be a decisive game where they were going to go into the locker room after and either bitch at each other and tell each other, like, you know, this has to be the end of this poor play that we're having. You know, they lose in ugly fashion in the League's Cup final. Then they lose ugly fashion again against Charlotte. I don't know how much was said in the locker room, if this changed anything, but the Seattle game afterwards was obviously a lot better of a game, and we can get into that. But it's just all that poor showing for Charlotte.
Yeah, well, and so I think we were all wondering what this was going to look like, right? Like how this was going to turn around and can this team turn around? Because it's just, we'll get into the Messi misses, which is just like obviously so rare. And I mean, it's obviously, he's just going through, it's funny because he's on such a different like level of everyone else that even like when he has his like misses or mistakes, it's because he, you know, beats six defenders and hits the post, or he misses a penalty, but then he still gets a goal and an assist. And I'm not like here to, you know, just like go about Messi, but it's just funny that it, like, we're blessed that even his bads are normally for us still good. I will say from Natalia, I think this is a great question. Does this win give you hope for the rest of the season? So to your point, Gian, we were like, what is going to happen in this match? You know, Seattle, even though it's a midweek match for both, they have the momentum of what, you know, embarrassing Inter Miami previously and getting that win, and you just saw the tough loss against Charlotte. You could really just close the door on the Inter Miami season, knowing there's no Suarez, knowing that the bench is only, what was it, six people on the bench, and two of them or three of them were all under 18. Like, you had every chance to do it, but this Inter Miami team put on what I thought was a pretty good performance last night.
Ash, before we just go into that Seattle game really quick, one thing I wanted to point out, because it was a stark contrast, I think, between the Charlotte game and the Seattle game, is there is an experiment that Mascherano has been doing to because he feels like we can't – well, it's not that he feels. It's a fact. We have a really hard time building out from the back. And a lot of times what teams will do is they'll pressure us really high up. You know, maybe Falcón will have the ball and we'll touch between the center backs and we'll touch between the defense. Ultimately, we can't get the ball out. The ball ends up going back to Ustari because of the high pressure. And then Ustari will just have to kick it.
Right.
And we lose the ball. And that happens very often. So what Mascherano has tried to do to combat that is basically – have Busquets. Anytime we're building out of the back, we have the ball. Busquets will drop in as a third center back in the middle between Falcón and Luján, or Falcón and Aviles this time. Well, even though Aviles hasn't had a lot of time, but let's say Falcón and Luján, he'll be the one to receive the ball. Falcón and Luján open wide, and then Jordi Alba and Ian Frey, or Chelo, whoever is on the flank, basically goes into the midfield. And that is... he does that because he knows Busquets is much better at controlling the ball and much better at finding the right pass. But what ends up happening with that is you lose the importance of having a player like Busquets in the midfield, that once the ball gets into the midfield, then Busquets is the one that opens it up left, opens it up right, and is able to do a lot of things. And that wasn't working in this Charlotte game. It wasn't, because what ended up happening is, Busquets got the ball out, but then nobody was able to do anything with the ball. You don't want Messi to continue to keep coming down to have to try to get the ball because nobody can get it up to him. De Paul wasn't doing it. Bright wasn't doing it. Delasco wasn't doing it. And we were missing that connection point. So the reason I mentioned that is because Mascherano didn't ask Busquets to do that now in the Seattle game. And I thought that was interesting and a good contrast, and I liked it better because I don't like when we don't have Busquets in that midfield.
I think the formation, whether he meant to or not, I saw a huge change in last night. And I think I'm going to actually attribute that to the three players who are not named Messi or not from, you know, Barcelona. Because obviously Jordi Alba is still magnificent at left back and where he's actually really playing left winger in this match. Magnificent doing what he has to do. Messi had some obviously uncharacteristic miss, but like I said, that's still two goal contributions, could have been six, right? So that we know them doing them. Three players who I think made a huge impact in this match. Number one, Noah Allen. Noah Allen completely helped the defense. Felt like Jordi Alba could be more forward and be able to be up and create. And then Ian Frey would match him, who was my other player, who I think, he had some difficulty on the one-on-ones, but from an offensive standpoint, look, he got a goal and he still did great things. And when you look back at it, two of the three goals came from our left wing back and our right wing back, right? If you're thinking about it like that. And so when you play Noah Allen, Luján and Maxi Falcón, it allowed you to operate much more in the way that this team has to with the pieces, like the cards they've been dealt. And it allowed, to your point, like Rodrigo De Paul and Yannick Bright, who is my third. So those are my three. Noah Allen, Ian Frey, Yannick Bright all played such an important role in helping or letting Busquets, Alba and Messi, and even to an extent to Paul, be able to do what they're meant to do, right? Like, in my opinion, I thought it was the first time, and I mean, Allende, of course, he missed chances. It's the first time I looked at the team and I felt like it was, I saw balance and I saw the ideas. And if you just have someone better that's not just named Messi to be able to be the one helping scare defenses and create runs and create moments. And we're going to get to him, who that might be, soon in this episode. But I just felt like it made the team and it made the flow much better. What do you think about that?
This team that played for Inter Miami, this style, this strategy, I don't want to get excited about it. Number one, it didn't look It didn't look amazing. I'm not gonna say it looked
amazing. I thought it looked better than what we previously were.
But seeing. The reason that style and that formation and those players were on the pitch is because we're missing Suarez and we're missing Telasco Segovia. That's the reality of it. That's why that team was there. So it wasn't like a, say, a Mascherano masterclass where he decided, hey, you know, we lost against Seattle. We have to, these are the players I'm putting in. It wasn't that. We were, I think we had 7 players that were unavailable for yesterday's game. We had 6 players on the bench. So this was, it was difficult to deal with. I'll give Mascherano, I think, the props that he was able to get a 3-1 victory. I think that's important, especially missing some key players. But I don't want us to think that this was a aha moment, you know, a little light bulb, because it wasn't.
It should be, though. Which it would be.
Yeah. Look, Jordi Alba was basically another forward yesterday. And we know that Jordi Alba, unlike Allende, doesn't miss those one-on-ones. So Alba has proven to be clinical up front, and that's why, even though he's a left back, and I mean, in this case, he was more like a left wing or left forward. You can play around with that. Noah Allen took his place. Jordi Alba was up front and is always, whether it's making a beautiful pass or center into Messi or into another player or scoring, Jordi Alba is an amazing and a great part of this attack. So then you have Busquets, De Paul, and Yannick Bright, who are in that midfield, who I thought Yannick Bright did an amazing job to disrupt and take passes away and break up plays in the midfield, and then do a great job
of not many counterattacks.
He doesn't overcomplicate things, which is, I think, is the most important thing. As soon as he takes the ball away and disrupts the play, he will usually touch right away and make a good touch. There are times where he, you know, decides to bank on his ability to run and maybe take some players. And he does that every now and then. I think that's important. But I like that he's able to think quickly and make the passes. Busquets is just a genius in that midfield. And that's why I say I hate when he goes into that defense at times. Because we saw these passes that he makes. He's one of the only ones, if not the only one, other than Messi, that makes, you know, when people run into space, he puts the ball in behind the defense. Nobody else does it on our team.
And it should be said just really quickly. I mean, we remember that Messi hits the post with the outside of his left boot. But the pass he got from Busquets was, like, as Ray Hudson would say, magisterial. Like, an amazing pass, and it would have been a top 10 play if otherwise. So
it was.
You're right.
And
you're right.
Who else makes that pass on this team, Ash? No, nobody else makes.
I mean, DePaul has tried a few times. I think he could, but not to the level of Busquets. But that's part of why you brought DePaul in, because you would be able to.
Definitely. And since you're touching on DePaul, look, I mean, guys, if you're watching, see, let me know if you agree with me. And some people may think I'm a bit harsh, but I don't think, and I will not say that DePaul has played bad up until now. I don't think he's played bad. But I think there was a certain expectation
that he'd be the savior
from a guy that's still young. I would say probably in his prime. I think he's 31. He's in his prime. He's coming from La Liga. He's not coming from any team in La Liga. He's coming from Atletico Madrid, a third place, you know, behind Barca and Real is basically Atletico Madrid. He's coming in here, and I think we expected more from him. So I'm still waiting for that step up. I don't know if it's him still assimilating to how MLS is, the travel, the fields, this, you know. But I expect a lot more from the ball. I'll say that. So I'm interested to see what everybody else.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get some feedback on that. I will say, for this point, Obando wasn't available yet due to injury. He's been he's been dealing with his injuries. Sometimes it's because he's not chosen, but he also has been, I think, having these lingering injuries, which is a shame. Same for Baltasar Rodriguez, a player who we've seen when he's gotten a couple chances, you know, gets a spark going, but then is injured again. So difficult to see. I think, you know, with DePaul, I agree that there's certainly, you keep zooming in and out.
It's just a weird thing with my camera. I'm turning it off.
Okay, I was trying to get a little nauseous. No, I'm just kidding. So basically with DePaul, you know, I think he comes in and immediately starts playing League's Cup. And he's playing where every match is a win or go home. He's also playing against teams that are in Liga MX. So it's not, he's not really, you know, playing what is, would be the normal MLS, right? So like you're playing in the tournament where it's, you're being asked to just like survive and make it to the next match with whoever you have available around you. And also you're playing against a completely different league than what the league you joined. And then you have players like that are getting injuries and all those things. And so I think it is, to your point, it's not that he's been bad, but I think he's also been a little bit held back by circumstances because he's not playing in his natural role and what he would naturally do, you know, on the pitch if you had Messi and Suarez and another like forward firing at 100%. He was able to kind of be like that middle ground, and him and Busquets would be able to do what they have to do in the midfield. Like that's not what we're dealing with right now, and we're having a lot of problems offensively with availability and with play in general. So he's had to play in a role that he's not normally in. So I'll say he has plenty of time. He's obviously signed a 4-year contract when the loan is done. And he will, I think, you know, assimilate to MLS and be able to know that he's one of the big dogs, you know, on the field. Not maybe like, you know, you're not playing against Real Madrid and Barcelona, but you also don't have Griezmann and Julian Alvarez, right? So you're having to still figure out who. I mean, you have Messi, but you know what I mean. Like, it's new competition, it's new way of play, it's new teammates, all of those things. Like, I remember last night just seeing Ian Frey gets the headed goal and then runs into DePaul's arms, who was the one who kicked the corner to him, and they were both so happy. And I'm just like, do you think Rodrigo DePaul, when winning like the World Cup with Argentina, was like, you know, I cannot wait to give a corner kick to Ian Frey, who's had 3 ACL injuries, American from Inter Miami's academy. Like I've always saw that moment happening. It's just that's like the good of it. That's the beauty of it, right? So I think the adapting is what is in process.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I just expect more of him. So hopefully it'll happen, because I think that if this team is going to make a run in the playoffs, they're going to need guys to step up. This team is currently built and is currently playing is not going to make it past the first round of the playoffs.
Great comment by Bright. Sorry. Yannick Bright is like N'Golo Kanté. It's a good comparison. I mean, yeah, that's a good comparison.
So, yeah, you need more from guys like DePaul. I think you need a replacement for Tadeo Allende ASAP, which looks like it's Selvetti. We'll talk about him in a second, but we definitely need a replacement for Tadeo Allende. I think it's not only the opportunities that he's not taking advantage of, but also I think it's just frustration with the players that are around him at this point. You see when you're looking at last night's game, Tadeo Allende, yeah. There are players that are frustrated with him, and
oh, I thought you meant he's frustrated with the players.
Yeah, I think I might have said that back.
I'd be like, I was about to say, well,
yeah,
I'd look at that, buddy, if I were you.
Yeah, no, I've seen you have you. I think there was a play where I don't know who let the ball like get past them, so that Tadeo Allende can have. They kind of fainted, and Allende didn't get the ball. Allende sometimes doesn't understand the.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
The passes that either, I think it was like the ball was trying to make it, you know, there are players that are now frustrated with him, and you can see it in game. They don't hide it. They yell at him in the game. So at this point, I just don't think it's the right fit for Tadeo Allende on this team. Obviously, he's played the last two games because there hasn't really been anybody that fits his profile, especially with Suarez out. He's really you think about it, he's the fastest guy, the most agile guy on this team in reality. He's the guy that can run and get into space and sometimes get into the right spots and get himself opportunities. He just doesn't finish them. And that's important because you don't have Suarez playing a center forward role. You have Messi playing deeper. You need that. The one guy that is supposed to be attacking is not scoring. So I think it's just time for the team to move on from him. As soon as this team has Telasco Segovia back, who got injured in the Charlotte game, and get Suarez back from suspension, they'll look a lot better. But I think the Silvetti signing looks promising based on that small cameo that we saw.
Let's talk about that, because you know, I think it's a couple of things. Number one, Taylor Twellman said it as well last night, that it's just because I think you usually normally watch the Spanish podcast. I don't know if you watched it last night.
Yeah.
So I was watching the English. And he goes, you know, Busquets, DePaul, or even Jordi Alba, like, will try and create a pass for Allende, and he's just not on the same page as them. And that's really inexcusable because he's been here all season. And, like, it's not like it's his first day, right? Like, and he has to assimilate, like Rodrigo De Paul asking to do other things. He should have been knowing how to make these runs and been practicing these runs with the team since the start of the season. And so it's on him that he looks so out of sync. You obviously can tell he's out of, you know, the confidence is drained. And it doesn't bring me joy. It doesn't bring us joy to be like, we were right about Allende. But I would say, I would have said the same thing I said 3 months ago, et cetera, when this started, that you need to be able to feel comfortable with with multiple options in attack. And yeah, they weren't available because of injury and things like that. But if we had more playing time from the Fafas and the Baltasars, et cetera, you know, the Segovias, all of that, you would have, I think it lets the team feel more comfortable with attacking options. And it leads to where I think we are right now a little bit with Lionel Messi, which is that I think you said it in a text really well. I don't know if you can pull it up or remember what you said, but basically that these uncharacteristic misses that he's making, whether it's the penalty or it's hitting the post, but then obviously the goal he scores is this amazing, amazing acrobatic lunge. You know, he's frustrated because the team around him isn't delivering what he is, and although he, you know it's different players and there's injuries and there's X, Y, and Z, you know, he's not used to having to play with a striker who literally can't score.
Yeah.
And like miss 40 chances in a row. Like, I mean, there's levels to this. You know, we say that about Suarez, but the kid, he showed in the final, he couldn't score an ocean right now, really. He's young, so he has time to get better. But like, it can't be on with this Inter Miami team. It's the players, whether they're young or they're veterans, whoever is on the pitch has to be playing and doing exactly their role while Messi is here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think what I was saying is that there have been a lot of uncharacteristic misses by Messi over the last maybe 3-4 games. I think one of the first ones that I remember, and was it, Ash, remind me, was it in Leagues Cup where he had a ball right in front of the goal and he just absolutely ripped it at the post and it bounced off? I think it was it Leagues Cup final or the one before, something like that.
The final, yeah, it happened in the final, yeah.
Yeah, and where usually he would just like subtly place it, you know, and would score, and then he's missing penalties and he's missing point blank shots, and I think that's very uncharacteristic. So what I said is, I think especially when yesterday's game he missed some shots, I was saying it's either two things. It was one, he's just having that game or a period that all players go through, even the best, where it's that type of game, it's that type of week, it's that type of 2-3 weeks. It happens to the best of us. Or bigger picture, he's frustrated with the fact that other players aren't stepping up. He's having to do the majority of the work. I think that he wants to do like how he plays in Argentina, where he gets to focus more on the attack. Obviously, he floats around, but most of the time in Argentina, he's up front and he's receiving the ball, not at midfield and not in the defense. He's getting the ball already mid-attack. I think he wants to play more like that, and he's not able to on this team because there are players that aren't putting up their part and making the right passes. And then when he does make the right passes, he's got players that, like you said, Ash, that can't finish. And I think it's one of those two things. It's one of those period of times where he's just not having the best of luck, or he's actually frustrated. And the reason the frustration came to mind was, again, that Leagues Cup game where he was in front of the goal, and with the aggressiveness that he shot the ball like 2 yards in front of the goal at the post,
and went
was
over,
uncharacteristic, yeah, in my eyes. So, you know, it may be that. And Ash, like, I look at this team, and I've said this quite a few times now, the team has good players, but you know what the problem is? They have a lot of the same good players that play the same positions and have the same roles and have the same characteristics. And I think Inter Miami right now is a prime example that you can't just put a bunch of really good players on a team and hope that the team consistently performs well. I think you have to have the best players, but also in the right roles. Because if you look at this, you have a team that is full of really good midfielders and no attackers. You have guys that do the same thing, basically. You have guys like De Paul, Busquets, Yannick Bright, whose roles really overlap. You don't need all three on the pitch, I'm sorry, in my eyes. You have, then up front, you have Suarez, Telasco, Segovia. You have, who else?
Allende.
Yeah, those, well, not even Allende, I'm just going to take out, but you have Telasco, Segovia, Suarez, and Messi, who are basically all playing a number 10 role. Literally, all three of them are playing like a 10 role. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have the one lone guy that does attack that can't shoot. So I think that compositionally, this team is not set to succeed. And that falls on Mascherano, who chose the players, Mas, who also allowed those players to come through, whoever the sporting director is, and Messi, I think, who in big part is the one who gives the okay to these players. So we'll see. I think if they can figure out, they have enough pieces to figure out to maybe make a deep run in MLS and in the cup. But right now, this team is just all out of sorts in my eyes, even despite a 3-1 win, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I think that's very good perspective. And I think we'll see, you know, the other parts that they were like the points they were making last night was that, you know, if Inter Miami win their last 7 matches, they finish number 1 and they win the Supporters Shield. Could you imagine? Like, I didn't even know we were in that realm. And by the way, probably won't win all seven games. I understand. But we have three games in hand over the majority of the league. And if you start to get, like, we're about to talk about, I promise it's literally going to be the next sentence I say. We start to get back, not just the players who are going to provide that spark. But like I said earlier, the three players I named that were most impactful in the match, no Allen, who had been out for injury, him coming back. And now you know you have an attacking shortage, right, in terms of like who's able to play and play at this level. Well, you have Jordi Alba, who it's not his normal role, but he can do it. And so if you feel comfortable with Noah Allen behind him, then that gives you more solution. Ian Frey, like we said, that gives you now, like, when is Inter Miami scored off a set piece that you can think of that's not a messy free kick?
Ash, can I step in here and say, I agree with what you're saying. And I think that sparked something as you were saying that. I'm looking at the lineup from...
Yeah.
The Seattle game. I would do this based off of what you just said. Keep that same back four with Frey, yep. Luján, Falcón, and Noah Allen. You yep. keep the Paul Busquets and Bright. But what I do is you take out Allende. You move Messi to the right. And you have Suarez once he comes back in the middle. And you can have Jordi Alba as that left wing.
I agree. Like
you literally can.
4-3-3.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I was gonna eventually say it, but I didn't want people to call me crazy. I was like, you can play a 4-3-3 with DePaul, Bright, and Busquets if you have to. But here and now, I'm bringing it in because I got to bring it in. Someone who could be making a difference in these last seven matches and could potentially get us to win, and could even find himself being put into the starting lineup as soon as this Saturday. And I would say with that situation, then you have Messi as your number nine and you have this player, you know, or you put this player as your number nine. We have to talk about Silvetti. Matteo Silvetti, I believe, right?
Yeah, Silvetti.
19-year-old from Argentina who was, we heard, was good. Comes from Newell Old Boys, obviously Messi's boyhood club. But... has been out for 3 months with a foot injury and is very young. And so I don't know what I expected when, you know, we knew he was going to finally be able to make his debut during Tuesday's match. I don't know what I was expecting, but I will be honest, and maybe it's because we have had such a drought of attacking quality outside of Messi and even Suarez, but not in the role we wanted to be. Maybe it's that, but I'll say the 10 minutes Silvetti played impressed the hell out of me. And I was like, if he was on our team for the League's Cup final, we would have won. If he's on our team and plays consistently through the rest of the season and isn't hurt and is able to, like, be that player, and I'm not saying 90 minutes every match, you know, but is able to contribute that role and be that dangerous shot creator and attacking creator. I mean, in the first minute he was on the pitch, one, he gets a yellow card for being too excited, which I'm like, good, show that you are running and that you care. And then he tries, when I think DePaul has the ball in the midfield, he tries within 5 seconds to make five separate runs and just was trying to get him to float it over. And it was like, I tweeted this and I texted it to you. I'm like, this is literally what it felt like the first time you met Danny Rojas on Ted Lasso. This guy who's this ball of energy. And I mean that in a completely sincere way, because obviously Ted Lasso, it's poking fun at some stereotypical players, but Danny Rojas was the most technically best one on the team. And, you know, that what he provided, I was blown away by. And if he and I was like, you know what, I put him in tomorrow. Like, I need to see that attacking energy. Get Allende off the field, put him in for Allende starting in DC and see what happens, because I thought he had that much of a good first impression.
Yeah, I had a great first impression from Matteo Silvetti as well. 2025 with Newell's, he had 2 goals and 1 assist in 15 matches. In 2024, he had 4 goals and 1 assist in 20 matches. He's a young kid, and I think
he's 19, right? Yeah,
he's 19. He brought a really good spark off of the bench, but I'll say this before I jump to conclusion, not jump to conclusion, but get too excited, rather just what Black Story said. We shouldn't read too much of it because Seattle were attacking high and he's fresh from the bench. And to speak on that, like, I think even the entire match, the 3-1 victory, you know, we got revenge on the League's Cup final, and that I want to take everything with a grain of salt because they weren't playing with all of their starters. They also they took off starters early on and were basically saving themselves and their energy for the rest of the season. And, you know, I think that the team played well, but we didn't have
only were down to the bare bones of our bench too. Like,
So I mean, it's a good win and I appreciate it. Yeah. But again, I don't want to say we're back or say, you know, Matteo Silvetti is amazing. I think he's really promising and I think it's exciting to have him on there. He fits a role that we need, at least it looked like it, because we don't have somebody that can consistently be high energy, that can make runs, that can try to take players and
create more spaces for Messi and Suarez. If Suarez isn't the one who has to create for other people, he may start turning himself back around and aiming at the goal. If he has all these people creating spaces and defenses having to not just crowd him and Messi in the same central area.
Yeah, right? I told you that he basically was doing what Robert Taylor was doing before we sent him packing. And really, at that point, Robert Taylor was the only guy that was doing that for us, that had that ability to create his own shots and open up wide and shoot from outside or make a run inside. And that's when he was very dynamic. We don't really have many players like him. So to have Matteo Silvetti come in and have that role, I think it'll give Mascherano a lot more options. And we'll see what he plays. I mean, you can have him play maybe a wing role, have Suarez in the middle, and have Messi maybe more out wide. You have Telasco Segovia there that also plays on the left, but he has a different skill set. It'll give, I think, Mascherano a lot to tinker with. But it's unfortunate that I don't know if Mascherano is willing to do that. We'll have to see. We've seen him have certain weapons at his disposal and not necessarily lean on them. He leans on the guys that he has already have kind of like battle tested. So
well, the good what I will say is unique about Silvetti though is that Mascherano coached him as part of the Argentinian youth setup, and so he is familiar with Silvetti. He's coached him before, which I think helps. And I will also say, if you're trying to make like think about the best impressions you've gotten of players ever. Like, I'll remember Neymar, like, when he was in that Champions League match, or in maybe it was the Club World Cup for Santos. I remember seeing it and I was like, ooh, who is this? And I was young, and so making a really good first impression, and like the 10 minutes or whatever moment he was given, he tried to maximize it. And that's something I feel like we haven't necessarily seen out of other young players or other contributors that we've been missing. And to your point, look, I'm not saying he's going to come in and score 15 goals and become, you know, like the greatest player of all time. But what I think the energy and the desire to create does is it keeps your the defense honest, and it leads to more spaces, and it lets the DePauls, the Busquets, the Suarez, and the Messis be able to have a little bit more space. And so maybe Silvetti will be at the end of some of them, but maybe just him being there, he'll be the start of some of them, and it ends with a Suarez or a Messi finish.
I think Silvetti will be a spark off of the bench, at least at the beginning, especially because I feel like
even if he's not ready. I'm so
but it's not Allende. The thing is, it's not an Allende issue. Like, Allende's not the one stopping Silvetti from coming in. The issue with Silvetti and the amount of minutes that he's going to get is because Mache wants a team that starts Yannick Bright, Busquets, and Depol, right? So if you've got those three in your midfield, who are your three up top? Messi, Suarez, and one more. Allende, throw him out. He's not there. But you've got Telasco Segovia on that left side. So I don't think that Mascherano is going to replace Telasco Segovia with Silvetti. What I do think is that when Telasco Segovia is substituted out, and we've seen many times where Telasco Segovia leaves early on in the second half, maybe around minute 60, 65. We've seen him be substituted before with like the likes of Kremaski before he left. I think that that's something we'll see now where Telasco will come out and we'll have Silvetti in, especially if the game isn't completely, you know, locked and ready to win, or if we're down a goal, you will see Silvetti come in for Telasco for that added punch in the offense. So I feel like that's kind of how we'll see Silvetti's role, especially early on as he...
Yeah, no, probably. But I also will say, you know, it's 7 matches in 22 days. So you may see rotation regardless. And what maybe he normally, to your point, would only have that bench opportunity. I think he may get himself some starts just by pure luck because of, like, the pack schedule, the injuries, the rotation, you know, whatever the case may be. He may get a chance to start. Well, not, I don't know for sure, but it reminded me of, like, if they had that type of player on the pitch consistently being that, then, you know, this team would work a lot more at its current construction than it is. And even to the point that maybe it isn't the right construction, period. If we had that third attacker operating as not as a Yende has been, but as a spark, as a creator of spaces, of an energy, of a wild card, then things do work out a little bit more, right? Or you would think there'd be more chances. But we'll have to wait and see. And to your point, I'm going to wrap up here that thanks to everyone who is in the chat, by the way. And you know, we have 7 games in 22 days. So some of these theories will be tested very soon, and we'll be able to speak on them. But I'm glad they won last night. Once Seattle got a goal back, they were able to still push through, regain control. You know, it boosts confidence. You saw a great debut of a young player, gets people excited. You saw a set piece goal. Like, these are things that on a team towards the end of a season can be kind of those sparks, right? I mean, Gian, you've played soccer your whole life. Like, it just takes like one header off of a corner and one kid, you know, blowing by a defender, and everyone suddenly gets that excitement, right? And gets that finish and sees that, oh, wait a second, we may actually finish in the top three. Like, we have a chance to do it. Like, it just takes that one moment, right? Spark it. And hopefully that happened in last match, and we'll see it manifest itself Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully this is a turning point for the team. A 3-1 win is a good win no matter what. And hopefully they use this to build momentum into the remaining 7 games or so.
The season's been up and down. It's not over yet. I would just say, you know, let's see how these next 7 matches go. You never know. And then the offseason will happen. We know Messi's renewing. We obviously know DePaul will be there, and so will Alba. But there are other question marks. And you know, we'll get to them when they happen. But let's just enjoy these last 7 matches and whatever else could follow, and see what this team can do, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you to everyone for watching and participating in this live episode of Messi & Co. As always, make sure you are following us on X at Messi & Co., following us on YouTube and subscribing at 5 Reasons Football. New content always happening. We'll make sure to do some preview before the DC match. But make sure you're with us and part of the journey. For this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian, and we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.